Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas. Coming up, Jules will be here. We'll be seeing if he's recovered from PSG's dramatic comeback against Atalanta to book a place in the semi-finals of the Champions League. But we'll start with who they'll be facing. It will be Leipzig after their 2-1 win against Atletico Madrid. Don and Stevie with me, two very happy gentlemen, because the game didn't go to extra time. Because let's face it, Don, from a neutral's point of view, this wasn't that pretty.
It wasn't that pretty, but the best team won in the end. I mean, I just found it such a bore the way Simeone set up his team. I predicted last night when we were chatting, I thought Atleti would have went through because I thought Morata would have started. And I thought Yao Felix would have started as well. And he went for Llorente and Costa. And what were they going to do against Leipzig's three centre-halves? Absolutely nothing. And he went defensive. It didn't work, and the best team on the night went through. And fair play to Nagelsmann. You know, he picked the right system. He played the right players. They played some cracking football and scored some very good goals.
Stevie was saying off camera before we started, not meaning to make this all about Liverpool, but he was like, how on earth did Atleti do this?
I can't even figure it out still.
They were terrible today, Stevie.
I mean, I'm with Don. The best team won. You know, Campbell and Sabitzer in the middle of the park were just fantastic. I mean, they just ran the game. And the Upamecano at the back was just every single thing you look for in a modern footballer. You know, he's strong in the challenge. And with the ball at his feet, he looked fantastic. So if Leipzig had a forward line, then this game would have been well and done and dusted way before it was. Because up front, I mean, Poulsen was horrendous. And Konku was actually playing. Yes, Olmo got his goal, but in the final third, if they can start producing some movement or just some individual brilliance, then they've got a chance of winning this. But unfortunately, because of the front three that they've got, that's why they can't win this.
How do you feel if you're a player and you play for Atleti and you see yourselves set up against a team that you're better than? Atleti are a better team than Leipzig. I don't think that's really debatable on their day. Obviously, Leipzig winning today. So why did Simeone set up like this? And why did he leave some of his star players on the bench?
I almost think he gets off on it, Dan, because, you know, I think it's a disgrace, really, when you think of the tactics that he adopts. You know, very, very defensive. They stay in their shape. They're very, very rigid. And I'm trying to get into the head of someone like Yao Felix tonight, and how must he feel coming off the bench? And was absolutely head and shoulders above everyone on the pitch. The kid was different class, and he's now out the Champions League. You know, I think I sent out a tweet earlier about saying, can you imagine if the very biggest of clubs come in for Yao Felix, how good they could turn him? They could turn him into an absolute superstar and one of the world's very, very best. And he's got to try and play and come off the bench and play in a rigid defensive system. It must be a nightmare for him. It goes against the grain of the kid. The kid's an expressive player. And when he's on form, like Mbappe was last night, I'm not putting him in that bracket, but certainly when he costs that amount of money and the talent that he's got, the kid should be playing in a system and a team and a manager that is on the front foot and trying to score goals and trying to create chances.
How do you feel from a player's perspective, Stevie?
I would think Felix would be very frustrated, but I think the important thing there is, you know, Don said he's a kid, and that's what he is. And so when you're a kid, you keep your mouth closed. You know, if you're an experienced campaigner, then you'll turn around eventually and say, look, just that you ask me, what's going on here? Unfortunately, a young player has joined a culture, because that's what Atletico Madrid are. It's a culture. You're walking into a side with Saul, Koke, all black and gold, you know, Savic. These guys are absolutely drilled in the Simeone way. And anybody who comes through that door falls into the culture. So that's what this team is. It's just a culture of not making any mistakes, sitting back, let the other team take the initiative until we have to. And that's why João Felix doesn't even start, because he doesn't do the job. It's not about showing your class and showing us what you've got. It's about doing a job, and he doesn't do a job for Simeone, so he doesn't start.
Part of that culture, Diego Costa as well, who did nothing, Don. Zero in this match.
No, he'd done nothing, but credit the centre-half, or credit the three centre-half, because they absolutely bullied him. And as Stevie said before, Upamecano was just unbelievable. You know, he's He's sensational when the ball's at his feet. He can take players on. He steps into midfield. He plays the right passes. But he's physically absolutely immense as well. So Diego Costa trying to have a fight and trying to bully him was never, ever going to happen. And the kid put him in his place. But that's why I tried to predict Atletico last night, Dan, because I thought, and I don't know why I thought this, because I should have known better with Simeone, I thought he would have started Morata and I thought he would have started Felix, because as a pair, you could see there was a relationship between them two. Every time Felix got the ball, he was trying to bounce little one-twos off Morata. And it's, you know, people might say, well, that's easy in hindsight. No, that's Simeone's fault. He should have knew that before the game. He should have knew that the two players that he went for from the start were never going to get any joy out of Leipzig's three. Never, ever.
I remember us having arguments in the past, Stevie, about Diego Simeone and where he goes from Atleti afterwards. And I was saying, yeah, but he's a winner. He can come and he can bring silverware to wherever he goes. Yet you look at a performance like that tonight from his side and you do wonder whether or not he could take over pretty much any other big club and get away with what he does at Atleti.
I'm not so sure about that, Dan. You know, all the big clubs now that are all playing proper attacking football, that's not what Diego Simeone does. Mm. And you can understand that if Atletico Madrid were a team full of, you know, low-budget buys, 20 and 25 million and put together and everything's about fighting for your life, you could understand that, but they're not, you know. I don't know whether Don mentioned it, but he was talking about it earlier. They had 200 million's worth on the bench. So yeah. You're going out and spending crazy money on players and then asking them to sit behind the ball. I mean, you won't get away with that at the big clubs now, your Barcelona's and Real Madrid and Liverpool now and City, all the proper teams. You can't do that. So, yeah, I would bet against Simeone being able to do anything other than what this team does for him.
I think I was like you, Dan. I think a couple of years ago or 4 or 5 years ago when Simeone's stock was really high and he was getting linked with jobs in the Premier League and a team like Arsenal who needed that sort of manager, I was actually thinking, oh, Simeone could come in, he could make them a little bit defensively better. But I think his stock's gone down tonight. I think all the owners and all the people that watch football enjoy watching football and the game's moved on. I don't think the very biggest of clubs in the world now will be chasing Simeone.
They will be chasing, though, Upamecano, as you mentioned, Stevie. It's interesting how our culture's changed, even since we've been doing the show over the 10 years, about how central defenders and their stock has risen. And we've talked about it a lot, about how big clubs need to bring in additions to the squad to help them defensively. Off this performance, almost alone, there's going to be a lot of eyes on this player.
Yeah, this is the best I've seen him. You know, I think before the shutdown, a couple of times I saw him in the Bundesliga and he made some mistakes. But then I thought, hold on a second, he's not the finished article. Everybody makes mistakes and sometimes it's very easy to jump on those mistakes. But you started off by saying about, you know, how we kind of sometimes go overboard about centre-backs. Well, the reason is because there aren't that many good ones around. Mm. And I'll tell you what, on this performance, Upamecano will not be at Leipzig for very long.
Now, Don, obviously you've seen him more than most. How much is this consistent of what he can produce week in, week out?
Yeah, very much so. He's had a terrific season. And that's the type of player he is. He hasn't got many flaws in his game and he's only 21. I think that's the crazy thing about him. You know, he's got a little bit of room to develop. There was a little incident that happened in the game where you think you could brush up because you got lucky when he just dangled a leg. And I think it was Lerdl just took a dive and got a yellow card, and rightly so. But he went with his left foot and it was a little bit risky. And that's the type of, and Stevie knows, that's the type of challenge in your own 18-yard box. You either go with your strong foot, the back foot, which is your right foot, or you hold your hands up and say, look, I'm not going to make a tackle. And he just dangled that leg and he got very, very lucky. So there's little bits of his game that he can improve. But when you're 21 and you're playing the way he does with so much confidence and you're physically stronger than everyone else you're playing against, and then you can handle the ball and you can step into midfield and you can make the right pass, and he's got a turn of pace. I mean, my word, what's this kid going to be like in 3 or 4 years' time?
Gentlemen, thank you very much. Go on, Stevie.
No, I was just going to say that there are not many 21-year-olds who very quickly understand that they've actually made a mistake. That challenge Don's talking about, most 21-year-olds, once they make the decision to dangle the leg, just follow through with it. This guy actually had the brains and the wherewithal to very quickly realise that he had made a mistake, and he pulled out. That tells you this kid's got a brain, and he's also got brute strength, and he's got ability with his feet. I tell you what, this kid could be something else.
Gentlemen, as always, thank you very much. So the bracket set, certainly the top half, it will be PSG taking on Leipzig in the Champions League semi-final. That game is on Tuesday.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We need to go through what we're going to talk about with Robbo.
I'm assuming. La 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 la.
It's all part of the master plan.
La 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 la. Chupomoteng. La 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 la. Chupomoteng.
Brilliant stuff, Jules. I love it. I imagine that has been the dance pretty much for the last 24 hours, is it?
Exactly, Dan. I mean, last night after the game, I wrote my piece for the website and then had to cool down. I went to water the flowers in the garden, and even while I was watering the flowers, I was singing Chupomoteng. It was that bad. It was that bad.
Those poor flowers.
I know, exactly. My goodness. Jules, it was a fascinating game to watch, even if you didn't have a horse in the race. For you, I imagine it was just painful.
It was certainly the most stressful game that I've seen involving PSG. And because this time we were on the other hand, it was down to, you know, PSG to try to come back in a game and break someone else's heart, like PSG's hearts have been broken before by Barcelona or Manchester United in the last 3 years, really. And I just never thought they would. And my wife kept saying, like, don't worry, they will score, don't worry. And the children were up and everybody was so stressed, and I couldn't say anything, I couldn't talk. And then finally the first goal happened. And then as soon as Marquinhos scored, I knew they were going to score straight after and that he would not even go to extra time. And I think it's like 25 years of sadness and remontadas and all those heartbreaks, really, that you've just almost washed away in one night, and an incredible night, and the script that...
Oh, God, you didn't win the Champions League, Jules. You beat Atalanta, for crying out loud. Calm down.
But that's the thing, Dan. That's the thing. I don't care now. You could...
Oh, shut up. Of course you care.
If you lose to Leipzig...
If you lose against Leipzig now, you go, oh, don't worry, made it through to the semi-finals. That's fine. Gout singing to the plants again.
No, of course. Now you want to go further, but in the sense that, you know, that ceiling of the quarterfinal was so much there, and it'd been there for so long, and especially since the Qatari took over and spent all those millions and billions to try to go further, and it just never happened. And I think psychologically, just the fact that it could have been anyone, it could have been Apoel Nicosia, for all I care, it was just about getting to the last four, getting to the semi-final, even regardless of how they did it, and if it was drama or not drama, if it was comfortable or if it was stressful, it was just about finally getting there again. Like I said, 25 years since the last and only time they've been in the last four of a Champions League or European Cup before. So, yeah, of course you want to go further, but I think psychologically for all PSG fans and for the team and for the club as well, and the owners, it was really about going through that next step and for once making it.
I'm not buying this, Xhaka, at all. The owners didn't spend all that money.
You should.
They didn't spend all that money to get into the semi-finals of the Champions League. Surely it's a win. That's what they want. And despite Mr. Jules spinning it this way, they haven't done anything yet.
No, not yet. Listen, I understand exactly how Julian is feeling and what he's saying about the accomplishment of reaching the last four. If we were talking about a Champions League tournament that included Real Madrid, Barcelona, Bayern Munich, Liverpool, City, all the big European clubs, getting to the last four would certainly be an accomplishment. But it's Atalanta. And if you now go and lose against Leipzig, I feel that as all that good feeling, all that sentiment comes crashing down around you. But you enjoy it while it lasts. Coming thick and fast in this format.
I know it does. Just about what happened, Jules. I love this Neymar discussion because it's fascinating, because he was clearly the best player on the pitch, but he made some massive mistakes as well. So how do we rate his performance overall?
Yeah, I mean, it's a hard one. I think if you look at the ratings in the French papers, for example, they were 7 out of 10 usually in the French media, because it could have been 9 easily had he just scored one of the three, especially three big chances that he got. But he still gave an assist and a second assist on the two goals. And also, I think maybe more importantly, because in the end they won, had they not won, yeah, I think he would have been the scapegoat. But now they won, it's a bit different. He's just been unstoppable. He was unplayable. And I've rarely seen such an amazing individual performance watching a game either live or in front of the television. Someone who can take a game and just own it from the first minute to the end. And yeah, of course, it's a shame that he was so wasteful in front of goal. But at least he was there and he created those chances, often by himself, on his own, because he was the only creative player in that PSG team. Everything just relied on him. And I think all that pressure and all those expectations, and he took them on, and then eventually delivered. And I think it's one of those nights that whether you like him or not, you're a fan or not, you like the personality or the attitude, or you don't, but I think everybody has to recognize what an incredible talent he is. And when he plays like that, he's certainly one of the top three, top five best players in the world.
Shagger, how would you assess his performance? Because Frank Leboeuf on yesterday's programme was saying, hey, wait a minute, you get paid all these millions and millions of dollars not to dribble past people, but to score goals.
Yeah, but by the same time, and as much as I understand and sympathise that, and I think right to criticise Neymar particularly for his first half performance and some of those chances that go to waste. But we have to remember that PSG weren't playing competitive football, and we've made that point time and time again in the build-up to this game. And I think that's what you saw from Neymar in the first half, that rustiness. Then in the second half, and I don't think you've ever seen a game of two halves played out more so than this PSG Atalanta. As good as PSG were in the first half, it was all about the counter-attack and exposing Atalanta defensively. In the second half, this was just all about PSG. And the thing that jumped out for me in particular is the understanding between Neymar and Mbappe once he came on. Listen, there's no question that Mbappe makes you better, regardless of who you are. But there were times that in the first half in particular where Icardi and Neymar, it just didn't seem to link up as smoothly as Mbappe and Neymar did in the second half. And as much as we'll talk about speculation surrounding both of their futures, there is no question that those two have an understanding like no other front two in world football. Ultimately, you have to judge Neymar over the course of the 90 minutes. I take the rustiness in the first 45 if you give me the kind of performance and results in the second 45.
PSG might be able to get away with that in the semi-finals against Leipzig, but they're going to have to really up their game, surely, Jules, for the final, when you imagine they'll come up against a big boy that's really going to test them. They're going to have to improve a lot.
You're right, but if you think about what could change from the Atalanta game to the semi-final and potentially the final, is that Angel Di Maria, for example, who was suspended on Wednesday night, will be back. Marco Verratti, they're really hoping that it could be fit for the semi-final, but certainly would be for the final if there was a final. There was that little injury to Keylor Navas, which would be a huge blow. Not that Sergio Rico is not a good keeper, but he's not as good as Keylor Navas. And losing Navas now would be a huge blow. So they're really hoping as well, praying and having their fingers crossed that Navas would be okay for the semi-final. But again, should be for the final if there is a final. So if you can play your best team in that final, if you get there, then I think obviously this is very different. If you can start Kylian Mbappe, which was not the case on Wednesday night, it's a huge boost as well. Because as Shaka said, Mbappe and Neymar together in this kind of form with the understanding that they have and that kind of partnership and relationship that they have is priceless. And that would scare any team, including Manchester City, Bayern Munich or Barcelona. So then I think anything is possible over one game, but it would be very different to anything that they've been there before. A lot of those players have never been in the Champions League final before. It would be very new. Thomas Tuchel certainly has never been that far.
No, that's not making excuses. Like that. Excuses well already. Your excuse already. They haven't made it to the final yet.
No, but I'm just responding to your question about they would have to up their game. Of course, all of those people I've just named will have to up their game. Otherwise, they will get to the final and get blown away by Bayern Munich, for example. So they will have to be, but they certainly think even more now that this is their year and they have that really core belief that they can go all the way.
We definitely need a Jules cam if they make it through to the final. We could watch him.
I'm not sure I can watch it. I'm not sure I could watch that final.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. More from Shaka and Jules, by the way, on Extra Time, answering your tweets. You can check that out over on our YouTube channel. Jules still with us. Stevie Nicol returns as well as we look ahead to arguably the most exciting of those quarterfinals. It will be Bayern Munich against Barcelona. Question simple, I suppose, Stevie. Who goes through?
You have to say Bayern Munich. I can't think the last time in a Champions League game, pretty much, I was saying that I thought Barcelona were going to get beaten. But the truth is, right now, Barcelona are a one-man team. And even that one man isn't always 100% sure he's going to pull them through. The other side of the coin is a Bayern Munich side that are absolutely purring along like a Rolls Royce, you know, from back, middle to front. They move the ball well, they're all in sync, there's movement off the ball, they're creating chances. Lewandowski, listen, they could tie a blindfold around Lewandowski at the start of the game and he would still get a goal. So, listen, every single thing is pointing towards Bayern Munich except that one guy, Lionel Messi.
He's quite a big guy, though, Jules.
Yeah, big guy, you're right. And I don't think you can ever write Barcelona off when Messi is playing, that's for sure. But as we've seen all season, it's a very dysfunctional team. It's a team that doesn't really have a style anymore, not really sure how they're playing, apart from just giving the ball to Messi and then really hope for the best. And he has been carrying them all through the last year, pretty much, with his goals and the assist and trying to go as high as possible. We saw them being a bit short in the league and Real Madrid beating them to win in La Liga. I agree with Steve, I don't think it would be enough against Bayern Munich. You need more than just Leo Messi, even at his best, to be this kind of Bayern Munich side. And unless something very special happened from Frankie de Jong, maybe, from Jordi Alba, even from Luis Suarez or Antoine Griezmann, which really looks unlikely, let's be honest, I think Bayern Munich will go through.
Let's get some score predictions then, shall we, Stevie?
I'm going to go 3-1, wow. Bayern Munich.
Oh, Jules?
Yep.
I go 2-1, Bayern Munich.
Bayern then, favourites going to the boys to advance. As we're talking Bayern, we got you boys on. Thiago moving from Bayern to Liverpool. Where are we on this, Jules?
We are at the point where Bayern Munich are waiting. They're waiting for offers, not just from Liverpool, but because Liverpool has been mentioned so much, they're wondering where Liverpool are. But also other clubs, maybe like Manchester City and Pep Guardiola, who maybe would love to be reunited with Thiago Alcantara, who he brought in Munich when he was the Bayern manager. But again, nothing from City either, nothing from other Spanish clubs, maybe, who would be interested, or Italian clubs, or whenever. There's just nothing at the moment. And Thiago has only 1 year left on his contract. He's already said to Bayern Munich that he doesn't want to extend his deal. So for them, of course, they want to ideally sell him now and get a bit of money for him instead of letting him go on a free next summer. So, but the thing is, if they have no offers, they can't sell him. I think people will come forward for Thiago, maybe Liverpool, maybe City, maybe others. And I think he will leave Bayern Munich this summer. But it's interesting and it's quite strange that you know, no one has moved yet officially for him. Maybe they're just waiting for him to finish the Champions League campaign.
How quickly should Liverpool move on this, Stevie?
Listen, I would say, you know, don't get me wrong, I think he's a great football player, he can pass the ball. Unfortunately, he just doesn't fit the mould of what Liverpool do in the middle of the park right now. You know, yes, it's ability, but it also has to have dynamism, it also has to have legs, it's about closing down quickly, it's about energy. I mean, those are all the things that all the players in the middle of the park for Liverpool have. So that isn't Alcantara. At the same time, to have a guy like that to be able to bring on, you can play him in the FA Cup, you can play him in the League Cup, but as I said, you can also bring him on and give him half an hour to pass the ball around if that's what you need. So I would sign him. I think he's a quality player. So, yeah, I mean, if the money's right, go and get him.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. Just a reminder, on the next edition of the show, we will be, of course, dominated by talking about that game between Bayern and Barca, bringing everything you need to know from that match. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The regular season of MLS came back last night as FC Dallas took on Nashville in Texas. Almost 3,000 fans were in attendance, a minority of them booing the players who chose to take a knee during the national anthem. Here's what FC Dallas's Reggie Cannon said after the game.
I think it was disgusting. I think it was absolutely disgusting. You got fans booing you for people taking a stand for what they believe in when millions of other people support this cause. And we've discussed with every other team and the league what we're going to do. And we got fans booing us in our own stadium. How disgraceful is that? Honestly, for a lack of a better word, it pissed me off. We discussed that prior to what we were doing. We discussed it with Nashville. Everyone from Nashville was on board. Everyone across the league was on board with what we're going to do. We asked for no anthem because we don't feel it was right for the anthem to be played at this moment. They ignored our wishes. So we were going to kneel regardless if the anthem was played or not. But unfortunately, it was played during these times where we asked for an anthem not to be played, and it pissed me off that you can't even have support from your own fans in your own stadium. It's baffling to me. As a team, we try to give the best possible product on that field, and these last 6 months have been absolute hell for us. Absolute hell. Because we have to watch other people play soccer, and we're just sitting at home, unfortunately, contracting COVID from the unfortunate situations that we were put in. And an opportunity presented itself to play tonight, and unfortunately, we're mad and upset not to get the win. But I was pissed. Everyone around me was pissed. Ryan Hollingshead, the first thing he said to me after we got up off the knee, he said, "I'm sorry for our fans," because we had someone chanting USA when they don't understand what kneeling means. They don't understand why we're kneeling. They can't see the reason. They just think we're the ignorant ones, and it's incredibly frustrating. I'm sorry to have this tone, but you have to call it for what it is. I even knew when we decided to kneel, I knew it was going to happen. I had a feeling that should tell you guys something, that I knew we were going to have some negative pushback from having a unified response over what's going on. That's the problem. That's a problem.
We're here to react to Reggie Cannon's comments and what we saw last night. Hercules Gomez and Shaka Hislop with us. Shaka, I want to start with you, and I want to start with what Reggie had to say.
Yeah, I think he's absolutely right. Having played at Dallas myself, understanding what that team means to this city, understand what this game means to this country and to the wider world, and to and knowing full well how wide this audience is, and the way that people continue to look to the US, for example, to have your own fans booing you in the stadium for kneeling during an anthem while you are protesting the continued violence against African Americans at the hands of law enforcement, while you are protesting the continued inequality as it relates to race here in this country, that's how the fans respond. On the one hand, I want to say I am desperately disappointed, but on the other, in a way, I'm not all that surprised given the political rhetoric around it, how it continues to be misframed and misrepresented, and ultimately the players and in particular people of color in wider society have this burden to bear that others feel they shouldn't or should just accept. I for one, and I'm going to join Reggie Cannon on this, I can't. I won't. There's simply nothing in me that says that I should.
Hercules, we've spoken to MLS about the national anthem, and they've said that as long as spectators are in the stadium, then it will be played before the games. What happened at the MLS's back tournament, obviously there were no spectators, there was no national anthem, and there was feeling of collectiveness around the players and the league that there was certainly a point being made. Having the national anthem now being played and seeing what happened last night, and which will probably happen wherever it is played in front of spectators and the reaction from the players reciprocated, is this not a backward step?
It really is. Do you think about all that goodwill that the league earned in MLS's back with the no playing of the national anthem, with standing, or I should say kneeling with its players in this cause, in this righteous cause? All that has gone out the window now. Now, regardless of how you feel, this is a sad reflection of what's going on, not only in this country, but across the world. And for MLS to know that this was a possibility and just say, you know what? That's not our problem. We will wash our hands of this. Let FC Dallas, let these teams govern themselves in a sense and do this and take the brunt of it, because everybody was watching MLS back. Everybody wanted to see, can the bubble work? Everybody wanted to see what is Major League Soccer's stance going to be with the players fighting social injustice and these racial inequalities. All right, we saw that. What about when nobody is looking? What about when FC Dallas and Nashville are playing midweek with a bunch of other things going on? Will the league step in? Will they do what's right? Reggie Cannon said they asked for the anthem not to be played. How much clearer can that be when both teams are asking for the same thing? And the league says, yeah, but you know what? We don't care. We don't care enough about what you're asking for. We will play because it is our protocol, because we said we wanted to. We will play the MLS anthem and the national anthem. It doesn't make sense to me. All that goodwill you just earned, you just held up right now in Florida amidst a pandemic, it's gone down drain.
Shaka?
Listen, to build on what Herc is saying there, and having grown up in Toronto, Tobago, having played the bulk of my professional football in England, I don't understand the playing of the national anthem before club games. Where I grew up, where I played, national anthems were played before national team games. But the playing of national anthems has become a political tool of late. Listen, I understand its origins back, I think it was during World War I, when it was played during the seventh inning stretch and in baseball games. You understand the importance and value of having it maybe then. But since that time, some 100 years later, it's become a political tool, particularly of late. And you understand the role that armed forces plays in this country and the investment they make into these leagues. But to have the anthem be used for political gain, one way or the other, in the way that it has, just goes against everything that I know and have experienced. So why do you continue? And I think at some point, somebody has to address this head on. Somebody has to make that stand. We saw what NFL did with Colin Kaepernick 4 years ago, despite the fact that he articulated what he was doing, why he was doing it, despite the fact that he went to Marine to ask about how best to effectively protest law enforcement in justice. And this is what they both came up with. He took more advice on what he was doing than anybody has in their response. Yet we're still here. Yet you see what's being how it's being painted on political podiums and how it has become a political tool. That is simply beyond me. Now somebody maybe it was the time was right for MLS to make that call that we aren't going to subject ourselves to that kind of political toing and froing. Maybe MLS just didn't see themselves as big enough and powerful enough to make that call. Maybe it will be the NBA, maybe it'll be the NFL, but somebody has got to, because you've got to address it. The last thing I think anybody wants, regardless of where you stand on this, is that the national anthem becomes a tool of politicization. Nobody wants that. I don't think it does anybody any good.
Herc, why is it that the MLS seems steadfast in continuing with it, where I don't feel it was missed in the MLS's back tournament? Or maybe that's just me talking, as obviously I'm not an American citizen.
No, you don't have to be an American citizen. I'm 100% with you. I played for the U.S. men's national team. I represent my country at the highest of levels. And if it's not an actual national team game, why have the national anthem? Listen, Shaka's 100% right. This anthem has become a political tool. The wearing of a mask is all of a sudden a political tool. It is not science anymore. We've turned this into a situation where it's very much political and we're missing the point. It's ignorance at its best. I don't understand what Major League Soccer benefits from this. I don't understand why the players should have to endure said things. I mean, there's 2,500 fans in that stadium. Regardless of what you feel, it should be played with fans or not. What do you get out of this? What do you really think you can benefit from? If anything, things like this are going to happen. Players are going to keep speaking up. And if anything, Major League Soccer, for all that goodwill it earned, it's just missing the boat now. It's showing how ignorant they are in this situation. And they're not the only ones. Other professional leagues should follow suit. And this is also, by the way, amidst a pandemic, amidst a game that's being played in a state where COVID is very much rampant. And also, these fans were subject to sign a waiver to come into said stadium, you know, a liability waiver. There's so many things that are going on in this game. And front and center is the national anthem, is the ignorance shown towards these players.
Shaka, if this continues, how are you going to react if you're a player?
I don't know. Listen, I think the players can and would continue to take whatever action they deem necessary. And now I am going to applaud those players that kneel. At the same time, I am not going to be at all critical of those who don't. I think that's entirely your right. And we should support exactly that. But if that's the action that you decide to take, then you are right in doing so, and you have to continue to support it. Now, for me, this is the challenge here. As players, you want to represent your community, your fans. But if you don't feel that they're supporting you, then what is the alternative for you here? Do you feel that you're stepping out on the field and representing them, or representing you and who you are? And that is, again, to go along with the non-politicization of a national anthem, that is the last thing that sports wants or needs, where teams become disenfranchised with their own communities and see themselves as separate. It serves nobody any good if that happens.
Social media, of course, are very polarizing, nasty place when it comes to this subject, Shaka, but some will say, well, if the players have the freedom to kneel, then the fans should have the freedom to boo.
And they do. I'm not calling for anybody to be jail fans who are booing. I'm not calling for them to be kicked out of stadiums as players who kneel are continually being threatened with from any number of political podium, as I mentioned earlier. They entirely have that right. But understand what comes of it. And as I mentioned in previously, the fracturing of that player and or club and the community. And that's not what sport wants. That's not why sport exists.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. Just a reminder, plenty of MLS matches to come over the next few days, all available over on ESPN+.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, that brings us to the end of today's edition of ESPN FC. Thank you very much to Don and to Stevie. For more from Shaka and Jules, be sure to stay tuned as they're answering your questions on Extra Time. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. Shaka Hislop with us, as is Julianne Laurent in London, where Jules, it's pouring with rain. Is that right?
It is indeed that. I don't know if you can hear it, but yeah, it's absolutely pouring. It's been threatening the last 2 days. It's been really, really hot here for many, many days now. So I think it was due, but this is proper bad.
Oh, I wasn't expecting such an in-depth weather forecast. Thank you very much for that, Jules. So much appreciated.
You asked a question, I answered.
I thought it was just the tears of Atalanta fans raining down on your PSG house, Jules. Hey, by the way, humble brag time. I want to say congratulations to my eldest son who got into medical school today. How cool is that? He passed his A-levels. And the good thing about it, Shaq, he's going to Newcastle. So maybe you could offer him some advice on maybe some nightlife that you could recommend.
I don't know anything about the nightlife up in the Northeast, Dan. I can advise about where best to find a quad place to study, that
yes.
type of thing.
Yeah.
And that's the type of thing he needs to know.
Which library is good?
Yes, I'm sure, Shaq. Yeah. Frequent visitors to the library during time at Newcastle. Okay. As a PSG fan, is Jules happy or sad that Leipzig beat Atletico?
I really had no preference. I think, in a way, both styles, I think, suited PSG, or at least I can see PSG playing against and doing well. I think Atletico, I mean, in fairness, I'm happy because at least football won. And trying to play football and trying to do things properly with creativity, with ideas, with movement won, instead of not even trying. I mean, the only time Atleti tried, they scored a goal. But then the rest of the time, they didn't do anything. So good on Leipzig and on Nagelsmann to come up with that kind of plan and that kind of tactics all season. And I'm just looking forward to that game because it's going to be a very open, attacking, entertaining game, which would not have been the case had PSG faced Atletico Madrid.
Yeah, we prefer to see PSG Leipzig, don't we, Shane?
in all honesty, listen, I think Leipzig have been, not with Atalanta or the tournament, Leipzig are now the fairy tale story. And though Jules was telling us during the show that he is more than happy for PSG to go home now, job done. I think maybe he's holding out some hope.
Yeah, Jules said pretty much anything now is a bonus. Semi-finals is what they wanted. That's what they've got.
This is why we're here. Yeah.
Billions of dollars over the years. It's a good question, Shaq, to you. Is Timo Werner crying?
Why?
Because he could have played in the Champions League semi-final.
No, listen, you make those decisions at the time with the best information at hand, and you take it. You don't cry over that. I mean, listen, you congratulate your former teammates. You're happy for them, you move on. You don't cry over that.
But he could have stayed, Shaq. He could have, couldn't he? He could have stayed till the end of this run.
Yeah, Chelsea gave the green light. Chelsea said, you can stay if you want. And I think RB Leipzig, of course, ideally, they would have liked to keep him, even if that would have meant, you know, extending the contract and the insurances and things like that. But that was easy to do. Other clubs have done it. So it was really his own decision to decide not to go to Lisbon for the final eight and just come to London and go on holidays first and then come to London earlier than what he would have done had he stayed a little bit longer with Leipzig.
I don't get it, Shaq.
No, you make those decisions at the time with the best information you have to at hand. And as a professional, you learn not to you know, go back and second guess or have a post-mortem about it. You move on.
But as a professional, this could be a one chance of playing a Champions League semi-final.
Absolutely, I get that. But every decision you make as a professional comes with some risk. Whatever that risk can come in a number of different forms. This is just one. And as a professional, you don't dwell on it. You really don't.
Who is in most dire need for Upamecano, who was fantastic today, wasn't he? Jules?
Oh, I think he's incredible. And if you think that he's only 21 and there's still a few things that he can improve on, you can just think that in 3 or 4 years' time, he would be even more incredible and even better and stronger and potentially one of the best defenders in the world. So I think a lot of teams like Manchester City, like Manchester United, who are the two big English clubs who really need a centre-back, but Chelsea as well. I mean, Arsenal is not obviously at the same level than the others, but I would really think that any top clubs, Bayern Munich, Real Madrid, because there would be a point where Sergio Ramos has to retire, Barcelona, where Piqué is not getting any younger, Umtiti is always injured, and Longley is Longley. I think, I really believe that there's not one club in those big, we're talking like top European clubs, who could look at Upamecano and say, nah, that's not for us. I really don't. I mean, all of them should have him on their list and go like, do you know what? This guy is the future at centre-back.
Shaq, isn't it funny? I feel like the rhetoric has changed over the last few years about how high we put top-class centre-backs now on a pedestal compared to the past. I feel like they're now on a par with everybody else.
No, the thing is for me that there's been a dearth of top-class centre-backs who defend. Sergio Ramos has been kind of held as at the top of that heap in terms of centre-backs in world football, yet everybody, even in praising him, would always point to what he gives you in the opponent's box and accept his defensive mistakes as well as part of the package. But now you're talking about a defender, Upamecano, who defends first and defends as well as anybody in world football, bar maybe Van Dijk. He's up there in terms of just pure defending. But as Jules points out, he's young, still has a long way to go. But what you see in terms of his composure, in terms of his decision-making, how he does not go to ground and does not leave that lazy leg hanging and doesn't seem to get drawn out of position, which you can accuse so many of today's centre-backs of doing, anybody would have him, any big club in world football.
Does Jules wish Neymar was as clinical a finisher as Tyler Adams?
I mean, in fairness, Marquinhos scored a goal with a bit of a deflection. I would have taken any deflection from any of the Neymar chances on Wednesday night. And you know what? Sometimes you get that bit of luck, and Tyler Adams certainly got that tonight.
Will they give him the goal? As we go to air, I think it's still his goal, but will the committee, they take it off? No, Shaq, you think they'll give it to him?
Yeah, it was on target. I mean, Oblak had a cover.
Really? Was it? How big is the goal?
Just. If it was, it was just, yeah.
Really? Yeah, it was on target, definitely. What does Atleti have to do to win the Champions League? What's missing?
They need Mbappe and Neymar.
Yep, and Mbappe, Neymar, Messi.
They sign him, yeah, and Upamecano.
Yep,
done.
Bomb, sorted.
Call it off right now.
And another manager.
Yeah.
And another manager. I'm sorry, I love Diego Simeone and he's been great. He was a great player. He was certainly a great manager when they were at their peak. But I really believe you cannot win top matches anymore. Patches being only about your defense. It just doesn't, okay, sometimes you could have a bit of luck and you go to Liverpool and somehow you win where you could have easily lost 4-0. But I don't think you can go all the way through in a competition like this by just defending. This is not possible. And also, if you're Saúl Ñíguez, who has more in him than just defending, if you're Koke, if you're João Félix, of course, or even like Thomas Lemar, who hardly plays, but if you're those players, surely you want a different style of football now. I mean, this was good at some point, and he showed everybody the art of defending, and this is great, and everybody wins in a certain way, and I've got no issues with that. But right now, I think this is finished. This is over. I really don't think you can win a Liga title over 38 matches by just defending. Impossible. And certainly not a Champions League by just purely defending like he did tonight against RB Leipzig. I mean, okay, against Bayern Munich or Man City, you feel like, okay, let's play deep and see what happens. But not against RB Leipzig. Come on.
Yeah, this is the team that knocks out the defending champions in the last round, Shaq.
Yeah, as Jules rightly points out, you can do that on occasion, but it's not going to take you all the way through. Saying that, in this format and in a one-off game, you feel this is it lends to Atleti's style, or you know, maybe you can upset the apple cart, you know, given that it's just over 90 minutes. The amazing thing for me, and Jules is absolutely right, but when you saw Atletico Madrid play in preseason, you thought this was going to be attacking, expansive, high-paced, high-quality football team. And then all of a sudden, you go from preseason into the regular season, and it's just regressed into what you've seen from Diego Simeone for far too long. We had some suggestion that maybe more attack-minded a couple of years ago. Again, you kind of got that hint again in preseason. But we're here having the same old conversations again, sadly.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. Any weather forecast for the week coming up, Jules, before we go?
There's a low pressure front coming in, Jules.
It's calmed down a little bit.
Yeah, it's calmed down a bit.
It's still started raining. So you see, in this part of the country, so from the north in Newcastle, it's terrible. If you go south, it'll be a bit warmer, and you should have a bit of bright sunshine then and again through the weekend.
Any clubs that you can shelter in it from the rain in Newcastle, Shaq? That's it.
Okay.
That's it. We're done. Thank you very much, guys. Much appreciated. ESPN FC back on your screens tomorrow. It's all about Bayern Barca tomorrow. Should be a belter.